due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Do I like to have fun? Do I like to come out here and have a good time? You're damn right. Because I am the WWE champion. I'm the top man in this industry. I'm on top of the world. Yeah, it's sweet. I proved a long time ago that I'm more than just a joke, that I'm more than just a utility player, because no matter how many guys came in and washed out or got themselves suspended or went to chase fantasies in some other sport, when the smoke cleared, at the end of the day, I'm the guy still standing here. I'm the backbone of this industry. I'm the king of this company. It's been that way for a long time now, and now the whole world knows it.
Hi, this is Jerry the King Lawler from the WWE on the Pain Clinic, right here on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic.
Woohoo!
I'm the Cashman. Hey, it's a Saturday, July 16th. Holidays today, real quick. Fresh spinach day. I like spinach. It's good. It's a good stuff. It's a good thing. All right. The Pain Clinic's brought to you. Oh, it's in birthdays today. Current TNA World Heavyweight Champion Bobby Lashley is the big 4-0 today. Looking fantastic at 40. I'm sure he's going to have a big party. Former ECW heavyweight champion. What else was he? Danger Boy. What did Bobby Lashley do? He had a ton of titles.
He helped Donald Trump shave Vince McMahon's head.
Ooh, Donald Trump, guy running for president. So he has an association with Donald Trump. Very interesting.
And then disappeared shortly thereafter.
Yeah, and then now he's doing MMA as well as TNA World Heavyweight Champion, doing a great job that. He might even hold more belts before he's done with TNA. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire Culver. Join us July 24th for WWE's Battleground pay-per-view at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. Starts at 8 p.m. Come join us for all the fun and frivolity. July 24th, WWE's Battleground pay-per-view. Starts at 8 o'clock. There is no cover charge. We will all be there. Something interesting I want to bring up as we get in later, after I do the plugs, but something about how this pay-per-view happens after the draft. We'll talk about it in a minute. I want to thank everybody who came out for UFC 200 last week. That was awesome. What a great crowd we had at Salvatore's. We're going to be back there July 30th for UFC 201. That's 201. Hopefully the card's intact by the time we get there. It starts at 10 p.m. Main event is welterweight champion Robbie Lawler versus Tyron Woodley. Hosted by us once again, prizes, drink specials all night long. That's July 30th. Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 201. They're going to start doing something different with these numbers after that. You know, they're going to, I mean,
it's getting up there.
As long as they're not doing, I guess, in Roman numerals, I have a real problem when we get up to
that'd
like the 230s and stuff. But, you know, of course, the dentist's favorite time, 230. Never mind. Hey, interested in roller derby? Fancy yourself a skater? The job of being an official, more up your alley. Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact them at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and become one of us, the proud Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for this wonderful, beautiful, beautiful Saturday. I'm the Cash Man. I'm your host with the most. I'm here joined by Danger Boy, who's on the Twitter, and also you can text us too. We can look at your text if you don't want to call in at 222-1280. Danger Boy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well.
Yeah, you look well rested. You weren't here last week.
I haven't been here since I got the boot off my foot.
That's right. He's driving himself. Very, very good. We're joined by our friend Scott from Henrietta. Thank you for coming in, Scott.
Good morning.
Oh, hold on. I got to turn your mic on, I guess. There you go. Scott, let's try that now.
Good morning.
There you are. And he's filling in for Mark this week.
So he's the Scott.
He's the Scott.
Last time I was here, I stole his chair. Now I'm stealing his brand.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this week, stealing his chair is Apex Predator.
It's not his chair anymore. It's my chair now.
And Apex comes in tow with a goon.
Yeah, he's my muscle.
Yeah, she's got the muscle with her tonight. She's walking around with her own little diesel with her. Welcome to the show. We're so excited. We got a lot of things to talk about. We got in this next segment, Eric Bischoff joins us. That's right, former WCW president, WWE contracted talent, TNA executive producer, all these different things. And he's going to be joining us to talk about a little event he's doing in Buffalo next weekend. So, which he'll be there the whole weekend. But before we go anywhere, we've got to start talk. I mean, we would have done this anyways because of UFC 200 and Brock Lesnar coming out victorious in it. But that was my first intent in talking about Brock Lesnar's victorious UFC MMA fight. But then we get the news fresh off of last night that Brock Lesnar might have had a tainted test, and the USADA has said that they didn't say exactly what it was, but Danger Boy, you got the details there.
Yeah, they said he had they notified the UFC and Brock Lesnar of a potential anti-doping violation from a sample collected on June 28th. Lesnar was granted an exemption from the normal 4-month testing process to participate at UFC 200 and was tested heavily going in. USA Today had 3 straight days of tests from a week earlier that were all passed. They're all negative, but they just notified Brock and the UFC of the anti-doping violation possibility. So what they're going to do is they're going to test the B sample first, and then after that, which is the same thing they did with John Jones, and then they will let him know what comes up, and he'll get a fair hearing and whatnot, because he said he's going to get to the bottom of this. And he was also very outspoken about how unprofessional it was for John Jones to pass.
For the same exact failure, an out-of-competition test.
Yes.
So I don't think that... I hope John Jones comes out and makes a statement. Certainly a lot of other people have. Including the man he beat.
The man he beat said he demands either half of Brock Lesnar's purse, which is what Brock would forfeit if the whole process goes through and he is found guilty of failing the test, or his immediate release from UFC, because he will go make money. Mark Hunt is also, 3 out of the last 4 people he's faced have failed the USADA testing.
Yes, the last 3 exactly. And he's been, you know, he's like, you can't put somebody up clean against me, Mark Hunt says. So, that's going to affect WWE, and that's really why we bring it up now, because WWE has also been notified by the USADA too. If it comes out to be, if he doesn't fight it, first of all, he's going to lose what? Half his purse is going to go to Mark Hunt.
Yeah.
Something like that, $1.25 million. That's a nice little payday. And two, it'll become a NC, so he won't have won it. And I think that he will be suspended for 30 days from WWE.
Now, what is the suspension rate for UFC at that point?
That actually would be determined by the Nevada Board of Commissioners for the sporting commission there.
They're talking 2 years for John Jones.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Chael Sonnen's brought that John Jones is facing 2 years means he probably failed another test we don't know about, but we don't know about it, so we can't talk about it. So they haven't mentioned any time length for Lesnar yet for the UFC stuff. He's still under contract to the WWE, so if he got like a year, then that would, and he didn't re-sign with WWE, he would be, you know, around the same time next year he'd be ready to fight again, which he'd probably be looking at anyways. But it's not necessarily that he took any kind of anabolic steroid or anything like that. It could be a masking agent. It could be the way that the testing was done, or he took the test or something like that. There's a certain number of things that can pop up, but it would carry over to the WWE if he is found guilty. However, it won't carry over until after he's found guilty in a hearing.
It could be a diuretic because he was trying to drop weight. I mean,
at the 28th, he wasn't cutting weight yet. He was still regularly training. That's why if it was like the week before, then the diuretic would be a lot more commonplace. But this could be any number of things.
They're immediately assuming a masking agent,
yes.
Which same thing John Jones got caught for. So, you know,
I'm going to give Lesnar the benefit of the doubt for right now, because he did face the same thing when his last fight, who he fought, he got popped for steroids afterwards. So Lesnar's last fight that he fought in UFC before this was technically a no decision because, who was it?
It was Overeem.
Alistair Overeem got popped very shortly thereafter for the same type of stuff.
Yes, after he had kicked him like twice. I mean, it was a while after, too. Yeah. It was like he was gone.
But it was the testing previous to the fight.
Yes.
It's the timing on these things, you wish they had better timing.
You know, there's guys that you don't fit your prototypical fighter look, like Roy Nelson, who will never fail one because he doesn't do stuff like that, or Mark Hunt. You know, he doesn't, hands of stone Mark Hunt, you know, and so it's, you know, it's just amazing that all these people are getting popped now and they're trying to clean the sport up. You know, perfect time to sell the company, right? For UFC. But, we'll see what happens. I guess Brock will come out and make a statement, something coming up soon with saying he's fighting it. If not, what is Randy Orton going to talk about on the pay-per-view when he goes to Jericho's, little talk show segment on the pay-per-view coming up? Cause, now obviously, I mean, they're supposed to be there this week, you say, Danger Boy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was supposed to, originally the rumors were he was going to be there for the draft on Tuesday. They had pushed up his return to TV till then, so we'll see what happens.
And do they run him into the ground like they did Roman Reigns? Do they let Orton do what essentially Seth Rollins did?
They can't do that to two people. I mean, it's terrible that Roman Reigns was destroyed already. And as much as I dislike him, I still think that was a terrible thing to do to him, and then keep using it over and over every week.
It was the timing though. They had just announced. I mean. He was the champion.
Yes, he was. He was. Okay. Well, Brock Lesnar is better than the champion. He doesn't need a belt to be in the position he's in, you know? So, I mean, how do you punish somebody who's, you know, you don't have him lose to people on the way out, you know, or, you know, lose to people, you know? So we'll see what happens. A lot of news will come down this week, but that just came out yesterday. So that was the big news. You might have heard it on the Fox Top of the Hour sports broadcast as we were coming into the show. They talked about it. So it's still a pretty big deal because of all the money, because he made a flat rate of $2.5 million for that fight. And it's like, and he also, and I think the worst thing is the way he commented on John Jones's positive test right before the fights too, and how, you know, it's just,
well, it was brought up the whole time, and pretty much all he said was, I've heard that my entire life because I'm a white boy and jacked.
Yeah, and he also said it's disrespectful to the business to be doing something like that, you know, to get in shape and to do things, you know. So, you know, I guess we'll see what other people. There's been a flood of Twitter announcements by fighters all over the place coming out and pretty much lambasting him. You know, they don't like him anyways because he comes in for one fight and makes more than they do in a full year or full 2 years, you know. So they're already got an axe to, you know, he's a part-time everything, you know, part-time WWE, part-time UFC, so. You know, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. We gotta get to the break because we gotta get Eric Bischoff on in the next segment. He'll be joining us. But before that, we got a couple calls lined up. We got our friend Paul from Rochester. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Rich. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey,
first off, 1-3 Park Avenue is closed off to Alexandria to Monroe down to your direction. So, folks, don't drive in that area. But I was going to not even watch the ESPYs, but when I heard John Cena was going to host it, I said, boy, they must be desperate. They should have me host the ESPYs. I'm telling you, John Cena, even though it's scripted and written, John Cena, I thought, did a good job doing the ESPYs. He really gave Peyton Manning a good one and what have you. And, of course, Abby won an award and stuff. But I just want your point. What do you think how John Cena did? Because usually ESPYs are boring.
Well, I'll tell you, if you listen to morning radio the next day, you got to hear the best of John Cena on the ESPYs. I think he did a great job. John Cena is a professional host. I mean, he's been doing it in the Today Show. He did it in Good Morning America. He can do stuff like that. That's in his repertoire. And actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually left WWE to pick up a morning host job someplace. It would not surprise me whatsoever. So, no,
I didn't know he was on a morning radio show.
No. He was like, his sound bites were on all morning radio shows.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. All the radio stations were doing that. You know, I thought he was pretty good, though, especially when he compared Kobe Bryant and Peyton Manning about the pass and stuff.
Sure.
I thought that was a good shot.
Yeah, it was. That was good stuff, man. So, hey, enjoy the parade today, brother. You're going to be down to the Pride Parade, right?
Oh, please. I stay away from those things. I'm too old.
Okay, well,
my rainbow dried out long time ago.
Yeah, I don't want to know any more about that. Thanks for calling. Well, Apex, of course, is going down there to skate along with the Rock City Roller Derby, right?
Oh, every year.
All right, one more call before we go to break. We got Brian Burke. What's up, Brian? You're not here.
Good morning, guys. Sorry I couldn't be there with you this morning.
So let me do the introductions. And sitting next to us, Brian Burke.
But I am listening as I can on the sly here at work. But,
gotcha. Don't let your
boss
know.
On the whole Lesnar issue, I'm just curious as to how WWE is going to spin it. I mean, he's on the cover of WWE 2K17. Is he going to have to apologize to the locker room as they made Roman Reigns do?
It's a good question.
Says, he's the beast incarnate. He's a bigger draw in many ways in WWE's opinion, it appears.
I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll find out in the draft this week because he's supposed to be there. So
I'm just very interested to see how they handle this because they build him up and build him up and build him up. And I just think a lot of times their whole wellness policy is a joke because obviously the bigger stars can get away with a little more than your mid cards.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely going to be interesting to see how the WWE handles it. I also think that if this does come back with the B sample comes back positive, I certainly think Mark Hunt has a case when he's saying, I want at least half the purse.
Oh, yeah. He'll get something. Believe me, they're going to take things away from Lesnar and give them to him. It usually happens that way. It's like when you don't make weight, 20% of your purse goes to the other guy. So we will see that, Brian. And, Brian, if he is tested positive, WWE will have to suspend him, and then we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, obviously it was a positive test by the USADA, so... We'll see how they deal with it right now. You know, they can always, you know, do what they do before, like with certain people and say, no, it didn't happen under our regime, you know?
So. Yeah, it's interesting that going into that MMA fight, I was wondering how WWE would handle if he lost. I didn't even think about how they'd handle if he failed a drug test.
Oh, some of the great announcers were calling him, you know, saying, look, check those drug tests before he even, when he was doing the weigh-in. So definitely, Brian, take it easy, brother. We'll see you here next week, right?
Yeah, I'll be there next week. Have a great interview, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, take it easy, Brian. I won't be here next week, though, so I won't see you. But we do got to get to the phones and get a commercial break first, of course. And then Eric Bischoff joins us. If you have a question for him, give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Take a hike, Anderson Cooper. Take a nap, Bill O'Reilly and John Stewart. Stay retired, my friend, because the newest, hottest investigative reporter is standing in the center of this ring, and his name is Seth freaking Rollins.
Everybody on this roster is gunning for John Cena's spot. I want his spot. Enzo wants his spot, and you want his spot. But the difference is, if we're going to take his spot, if we're going to knock John Cena off of that mountain he's been on top of for over a decade, we are going to earn it.
Mi amigo, you are so much more than a dilapidated boat. You shielded me from the demonic fire of Brother Nero. You deserve a name. I shall call you Skarsgård. Skarsgård, may I indulge in your usage as we bury the material remains for the new.
This is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic, the pro wrestling talk show on 1280 WHTK.
All right, welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Danger Boy, Apex Predator,
yes.
Scott from Henrietta.
Howdy.
And you, and I want to thank you all. We've got a special guest on the line. Before that, I hit my plugs real quick before we bring on our guest. I want you to know we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. We're going to be out at Salvatore's at the garage door for WWE Battleground. That is July 24th. Come on out. Join us. 8 o'clock. Starts at 8. There's no cover for any WWE pay-per-views at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. That's Sunday, July 24th, WWE's Battleground. And who knows what it's going to be like. We'll talk about that later. But I got to get our guest on the show. I'll see if I can find his theme while I'm wandering around. Let's see. There we go. All right. Joining us right now, former president of WCW, as well as he spent some time with the WWE and TNA. He and Jason Hervey produced TV shows, including Hardcore Pawn. I said that right because I had to slow it down because sometimes that isn't what comes out of my mouth when I say the name of that show. He'll be in Buffalo at the Buffalo Bisons game this Friday, July 22nd, and at the Buffalo Riverworks for the Wrestling Legends of the Odd show Saturday the 23rd. Let's welcome the man who wrote the book, Controversy Creates Cash, Eric Bischoff, back to the Pain Clinic in the Rochester Airwaves. Thank you so much for the time, Eric.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wow, it's very cool. Now, first thing I got to ask you is you really don't do a lot of these wrestling and appearance events. What made this one so special?
Yeah, history. You know, the Apollos have done a great job, you know, promoting wrestling in the markets, and there's just a lot of great wrestling fans there. You know, I get opportunities to do independent shows, you know, pretty frequently, but the ones I like to do are in cities and markets that, you know, traditionally have just a great wrestling history and a fan base, and you know that certainly fits the bill here this weekend. So I'm just looking forward to meeting the fans and hanging out with some old friends.
Very cool. Now, the Odd held its last wrestling show 20 years ago, and that's what's being honored this next weekend coming up, starting at the Coca-Cola Field on Friday night. Dennis DiPaolo is very proud of his dad, Ilio, and his legacy in the squared circle. And the team in town that night is the Gwinnett Braves. Now, their announcer is Tony Schiavone. I don't know if – I'm sure that's not by coincidence. That'll be a fun reunion, I bet, huh?
It will be, and I didn't know that. I wasn't aware that Tony was going to be at that event. So I haven't seen Tony in, I don't want to say how many years, so it just makes me feel older than I already am, or I already do. But no, I look forward to seeing Tony. He's always been passionate about baseball, so it doesn't surprise me that he's in the industry, so to speak. So I'm proud of him, or happy for him, and look forward to meeting him again.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad I actually informed you of something because I thought you guys knew that already. I assume they may have worked it around that, you know. So now I probably spoiled some surprise by them. I apologize. You know.
Well, that's all right. That's all right.
Now let's talk a little bit about some of the time you were in WCW when you were there. And this is one thing. You held the WCW Hardcore title. You beat Terry Funk for it. You gave it the next night to Big Vito and Johnny Stromboli. It shows that you were willing to mix it up in the ring. Might we see you do something of that maybe when you're out Saturday night at Buffalo River Works, maybe?
God, I hope not. You know, it was kind of ugly when I did it 20 years ago. I can't imagine what it would look like now. And you know, sometimes the memory or the anticipation of something happening is far better than the actual execution. So I look forward to being there. I can still go, you know, I can still stir it up, you know, with a microphone and in about 2 minutes of airtime, I can still get people excited. But I don't think getting physical in the ring is going to make anybody's night a more pleasant experience.
All right. 222-1280, star 12 is a number if you want to ask Mr. Eric Bischoff a question. I got to say, we got to meet your son Garrett in Elmira a few years ago when TNA was in town, and it was a real pleasure to talk to him. What's he been up to since he's not with TNA anymore?
Garrett is, he and his wife live down in Clearwater Beach, Florida, not too far from Hulk, actually. And his wife, Mary Jane, has her own business down there. She's got a tanning studio down there. Garrett is working for a company called Sonoran Desert Institute, and they're a company based in Arizona who teach people across the board, but specifically veterans in many cases, teaches them how to become gunsmiths and gives them a trade. It's an accredited college program, and Garrett is basically a liaison between the school and the military. And he works with veterans trying to get them, you know, further education, job opportunities, and things like that. So I'm very proud of him. He's passionate about it. He loves his work. You know, he's a big supporter of veterans in the United States and does everything he can to be a part of the solution. So I'm proud of him for that.
What did you think when he said, "Hey, Dad, I want to wrestle"?
I was disappointed. You know, I wasn't surprised, I didn't really want him to get into the business, but I also knew that that was something that he wanted to do, and he wanted to do it for a long time. So despite my wishes and, you know, my judgment, he went through the process, and I'm proud of him for doing it. You know, he was very committed to it, and it was unfortunate that he didn't really get an opportunity to get a shot at WWE, but at the same time, you know, the business is, it's a very difficult business now. It's not the same business that it was 20, 30 years ago. And I'm grateful that he had a chance to get in the ring and work with the likes of, you know, Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan and AJ Styles, and Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode, Kurt Angle. You know, he had the opportunity to spend time in the ring with some of the best performers in the history of the business. And I'm grateful for that.
I was going to say, yeah, he was in, I mean, I think it was probably the heyday of TNA at the time, when he was there, you know, Aces and Eights and everything that was going on. He definitely had his hand in there, and he could work, and it was great how they brought him in with the referee and everything. I thought that was, you know, I thought it was a great introduction. It's a shame that, you know, he's not doing it anymore, because I thought he was pretty good at it.
He could have been very good at it. He had a lot, in what he was best at, we never really got a chance to see. But he's extremely good on the mic. I mean, he's great physically in the ring. He had a natural talent for it. And he's a very athletic young man to begin with. So I think we just began to see what he was capable of, you know, physically in the ring in terms of being a performer. But his real skill sets were on the microphone. He was very, very good. He probably could have excelled at that.
Took after his dad, I guess, huh?
Yeah, in some respects he did, but fortunately for him, he takes more after his mother in terms of personality. So he'll go far just because of that.
All right, we have a question from Jordan online. Jordan, you're on with Eric Bischoff.
How's it going, guys?
Good morning.
Good morning. I just had a quick question. I was wondering, what do you think of the current state of wrestling, and what do you think are like the biggest differences between back in the day when you were doing it, when it was at its peak probably, and how it is now?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. There are so many things that are so different now than they were, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and more, obviously. The television industry in general has changed dramatically with the, you know, proliferation, evolution of digital platforms, and the competition that creates for all forms of entertainment. I think that's a big factor. The fact that WWE is really the only league or organization, sports entertainment company on the map, with probably 98 or 99% of the market share, is great for them. And in many respects, it's great for the business, because WWE has grown their footprint globally in such a dramatic way, and they continue to do so. And I think that's great for the longevity of the industry. Those are the great things. The not so great things are really, I think, the lack of competition kind of manifests itself in the sense that there's not a lot of diversity. And when I say diversity, I don't necessarily mean ethnic or racial or cultural diversity, but I mean diversity in characters. There's a sameness that I see in the product, so that it feels like everything that you see, hear, read, listen to about WWE passes through a filter that has served them very well. But it also means that there's a sameness to the property or to the product. And I think that's, to me, it's a little bit of a negative. That's me personally, because I grew up differently. You know, kids that are growing up watching wrestling now don't notice that, don't feel that way, because they don't remember the kind of diversity that existed in the characters in wrestling the way they did when I grew up, you know, watching it. So it's very personal, you know, and the fact that I feel that way doesn't necessarily mean that anybody else does. But that's what I see, is just an overall lack of diversity in characters.
Is it like you're saying, like they're playing it safe? They're not getting anything too extreme in the characterization of some of the wrestlers?
You know, I don't think it's about being too safe. I think that the industry has gotten so sophisticated, and the WWE, in my opinion, I'm certainly not on the inside and don't know what the creative process is or the thought process is, but if I were to guess, there is so much information and research available to WWE now that they have the luxury, in a way, of really zeroing in on what the fans like, what they're reacting to, and they're able to really exploit, you know, the information that's available to them so that they can really fine-tune their characters. But unfortunately, they're fine-tuning them all the same way. And again, it's working for them. This is not a critique.
Sure.
It's just an observation. But I think one of the reasons that there is a sameness across the board, in my opinion, in the way that the product is being presented, is probably the result of the fact that they've got a lot of information that says this is what the audience is reacting to. So it's a double-edged sword. But look, at the end of the day, it's working for them very, very well.
Now, given the idea of sameness, the draft is Tuesday, so you have a chance to start a brand, Raw, SmackDown. You could start a brand. Who would you pick from anybody on the roster to be your number one draft pick?
Well, I would have to study the roster a lot more closely than I have. But going back to what I was just speaking to in terms of diversity, and again, character diversity, but I do like Cesaro, for example. All right. Unfortunately, Roman Reigns, has hit a speed bump here, and I'm sure he'll, overcome that challenge. But I like Roman Reigns. I'm not sure he's really come into his own yet, and I'm not sure he had found his groove, even recently. But I'm also sure that he will. But I liked his character quite a bit. I like Bray Wyatt. I like Seth Rollins. There's a lot of talent that I like, but I tend to lean towards the characters that feel very unique and not so manufactured, if that makes sense.
Now, would you have killed for a developmental group like they have now when you were back running WCW?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that the WWE has done so well is, they've really developed the system, so to speak, to find, to attract, to recruit, great talent and potentially great talent. They've got a phenomenal system in place to develop that talent. I just wish that there was, like I said, a little bit more diversity in the presentation in that process. Because once an athlete goes through that training system and finally makes it to television, that repertoire, that style of presentation, is ingrained in them. And at that point, it's hard to learn anything really new. That's one of the things that I miss about wrestling. And one of the things that I think that works so well is back in the territory days when I'll just pick a name out of the hat. For example, the late, great, Roddy Piper, may he rest in peace, had the ability to travel around the country and see different styles of wrestling, different presentations, wrestle in front of different audiences and learn little things from every single market to add to that, repertoire, if you will, or his catalog of things that he could add to his show or his presentation. That doesn't exist anymore. Now, for the most part, at least in WWE, a talent really learns that WWE style in that WWE system. And doesn't have the opportunity to experience, really unique characters and presentations from different parts of the country, or for that matter, different parts of the world.
And that makes sense. I will say one thing. A guy you worked with before, AJ Styles, they brought in and pretty much shot him right up to the main roster after they signed him without affecting how his style or anything too quickly. And I think that was one of those things that really was shocking because you don't usually see that a lot in the WWE when they sign somebody else. They usually have to go through the motions down in the down in their developmental so they can learn how to do WWE way, wrestling and stuff like that. But AJ Styles, miraculously got up there and debuted and is doing the same style he was doing with TNA and everywhere else he's been. So one thing you can say that's a little bit different with maybe the way they brought him in.
But he was a very, when you say it doesn't happen very often, I don't think it's ever happened, at least in recent memory, in the last two decades. That's, as you pointed out, that is not the WWE way. And I think that really speaks volumes about AJ Styles. For AJ to be able to walk in the door and just leapfrog right into, you know, main event type status and working with some of the top talent in WWE, he deserves a tremendous amount of credit and respect for that. I think the world of AJ as a human being, he's a very rock solid citizen, a good human being. He puts his family first, but he's also very dedicated to what he does. So I couldn't be happier for him.
That's great. Now, WWE's, you know, you've been involved in a few of these drafts, and they have a draft coming up this week. I think it'd be a picture-perfect opportunity for maybe a return of Eric Bischoff to TV. Not that I'm, like, hinting or anything, but would there be any interest? I mean, I know you're busy with, you know, the Buffalo Bill Cody beer and your TV shows and everything. But, I mean, if they brought you in one day a week to be their general manager, it wouldn't be a bad thing, would it?
Yeah, no, it'd be a blessing in many respects, and I'd be very grateful for that opportunity. But and it's not that I'm so busy I wouldn't have the time or anything like that. But I think, truthfully, look, I think if I were to come in, I think there'd be a pretty good reaction initially. I think fans would be excited initially, but I think that would wear off quickly unless there was a very unique approach to it from a storyline perspective and probably even with regard to the character that I would have to portray. Because if all I did was go back and do what I did 14 years ago in 2002 when I came in and I played that same character and was put in those same types of situations storyline-wise, I think the audience would get tired of it really quick. As much as I would love, you know, to be back in the ring, because I do miss performing. I love to perform. And as much as I'd love to be standing in that ring with a microphone and performing in front of, you know, 10, 15, 20, 100,000 fans, whatever the case may be, as much as I miss it and I would love to do it, I don't want to do it if it's disappointing to the fans, because then it'll be ultimately disappointing for me. I'd rather just hang on to the pleasant memory I have of spending 5 years in WWE and being able to perform with the biggest names in the history of the industry, you know, from Rock and Mick Foley, Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, you know, Ric Flair. I'm grateful for that, and I cherish those memories. But I'd rather hold on to those than to replay something that I've done 14 years ago that the fans really weren't that excited about.
Well, you had quite the repertoire with Stephanie McMahon, and she's going to be in charge of one of the divisions. So I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, I kind of dug when you guys were like, you're up against each other all the time. So I thought that was pretty cool. But you know, I understand exactly where you're coming from. You know, but they brought people back just for one week shots and stuff for a while, trying to, you know, and I wouldn't have been surprised at all to see you pop up one of them. So. But I think that's cool. It's pretty cool that, and if they did make you a call, you know, if you do show up on Monday, then power to you, brother. But that's awesome. But of course, you said you miss performing a little bit. You're going to get a chance to do that this coming up weekend. You got to, not only are you going to be there at the Buffalo Bisons Gwinnett Braves game on Friday, but you're also going to be Saturday at the Buffalo Riverworks, with Jimmy Hart, the Nasty Boys, Dick the Destroyer Byer, Dominic DiNucci, Leaping Lanny Poffo, and Shane Douglas are all going to be there too. So it's going to be like a little reunion for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of those guys I haven't seen in a long, long time. I see Jimmy, you know, probably more frequently than anybody else you mentioned, just because of my relationship with Hulk. But I haven't even seen Jimmy in probably over a year or a year and a half. So yeah, it's always fun to get together with the guys, and everybody's happy to be there. You know what I mean? We've gotten to that point in our careers where I'll speak for myself. You know, I'm pretty grateful that people still give a damn, and are willing to come out and spend an evening with me and enjoy it and have fun. And even if it's, you know, nostalgic for them and they're kind of reliving something that meant a lot to them, you know, 20 years ago or more, I think it's a real blessing. And I'm, like I said, I'm very grateful for it.
Very cool. Well, we're really super psyched that you're going to be in Buffalo next weekend. And you mentioned Hulk Hogan there. Wasn't there a lot of rumors floating around maybe him coming back into the WWE fold with this coming up real soon? We hope that's the truth, because we're all big supporters of Hulk. And it's good that he's gotten his things past him that kept him out. So hopefully we do see him pretty soon. Have you any idea? I mean, he must be feeling pretty good about things right now, right?
He's, you know, I hear from, you know, we communicate every single day, 7 days a week. You know, sometimes it's a short text message, other times it's a phone call. He's, you know, without a doubt, one of my closest friends, if not my closest friend. And I've known Hulk now for a long time, going on 25 years or more. And I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart, and I'm just couldn't be more honest about this, but I believe Terry Bollea is happier now than he's probably been at any time in his adult life overall. He's at peace. He knows who he is. He's gone through, you know, challenges and tests that have made him really, you know, learn about himself and look at himself and who he wants to be and how he wants to live. And he's a spiritual guy, and he really is, I think, more at peace now, therefore happier than any time since I've known him, for sure. So I'm really happy for him.
Great. Hopefully we'll see him soon in WWE TV. I want to let people know that you can come out to Coca-Cola Field this Friday, July 22nd, versus Tony. There'll be Buffalo Bisons versus Tony Schiavone's Gwinnett Braves to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Legends of the Odd, featuring an appearance by you, sir, Eric Bischoff, and other former wrestlers, the Nasty Boys, Brian Knobbs, Jerry Sags, Dick the Destroyer Buyer, Dominic DiNucci, and, of course, the next day, Saturday the 23rd, at Buffalo River Works. You can go online to get tickets at buffaloriverworks.com. Continue the celebration there. Doors open at 5:30, bell time at 7. Tickets can be found, like I said, once again, buffaloriverworks.com. And Eric, I want to thank you so much for giving us some time. It's been a while since the last time we had you on. We're huge fans of yours, and you got your hands in so many different things, and we love the TV shows you're producing and everything. And I want to thank you for the time with us today, and we can't wait to come out and see you out next weekend in Buffalo.
I'm really looking forward to it, and let's make sure we all have a really great time next weekend, because that's what I'm coming for.
Very cool. Thank you so much for it. And to get you out of Wyoming, it's got to be something big. So thank you for coming, and thank you for joining us today, okay?
All right. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Enjoy it. All right. We got to go to break. I love when this song came on, and the first time you showed up, it was like, everyone's like, what? So it's very, very cool. We got to go to break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back to talk some stuff, wrestling stuff, after this break.
I knew you'd come.
You're scared. You've seen this movie. You've seen it play out your whole life. And it's going to be me at the end of it that you're looking up to, just as you always have. So game on.
Because at Battleground, it really doesn't matter. It's going to be about what it's always been about between you, me, and Roman. It's going to be about who's the best. Who's the best member of the Shield. And at Battleground, I'm gonna prove to the world what I've known the entire time. I was better than you before the Shield. I was better than you during the Shield. And at Battleground, I will be better than you once again.
This is Y2J Chris Jericho, the hero of the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Thank you, Chris Jericho. Welcome. What is he going to talk with Randy Orton about now? Brock Lesnar might be suspended. Well, I guess we'll find out when we watch Battleground, July 24th at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Come down and join us. Actually, this is a secret. The people from the Pain Clinic are going to get together for the draft on Tuesday night, and we're going to be down at Salvatore's watching the draft, hanging out. So I'm just throwing that out there. There's a place if you want to watch the draft and not at home and hang out with your fellow brothers and sisters of the wrestling world. You can come hang out with us. Maybe buy us a drink, or, you know, sit down and have some pizza or something, you know. 149 East Ridge Road. We'll be there.
I like that. Buy us a drink.
Buy us suggestion. A drink. Buy us an adult beverage.
Yes.
Eric Bischoff was fantastic. I mean, always a great interview. Could go on forever. I was going to ask him. He's talking about he didn't like to get physical too much, but I think one of the biggest things I remember from him was when he got jackknifed through the table on Nitro when the Invaders showed up.
Yeah, the Outsiders.
The Outsiders. Remember that?
And that was awesome.
That was one of those memories you picture when the whole wrestling exploded. That was one of the things that started it. He was the announcer, and he got jackknifed through a table. Then turned and was with him a couple weeks later.
That might have been one of the first times they acknowledged that he was running the place, too.
Yeah, that's right. So, very cool time. But, hey, welcome back to the show. Before we get too far, I want to throw out, we got a couple people on the line. Don't forget Buffalo SmackDown, July 26th. It's going to be the very first show of the newly drafted SmackDown. And I know a certain Apex Predator is going to be there.
Oh, yeah, Goontu.
And Goontu, all right. Her bodyguard, Diesel, or Goon, is going to be there with her.
If the rumor is true, I'm changing my vacation plans and going.
Oh, are you? What rumor? What are you assuming?
Well, after they announced the two commissioners, there was an article on the app, and it kind of hinted at a certain general... Yes.
Yeah, I saw that, too. And it's like, you know, if that's the case, that's great. I think if he's the guy who comes in, you know, that's awesome.
That immediately changed my vacation plans. I told my wife...
Could this be a guy who may have done announcing on Wednesday night for the Cruiserweight Classic and was really good at it?
I got to say, yes.
I think so, yes.
Well, it's good that he's got a job. I mean, I like him, too. He's a great guy. So I just got a text. This was a text from Chris from Brighton. What B-rated horror movie did I watch on Raw? That skit with the Wyatts and the New Day was horrible, embarrassing to watch.
That was what happens when you try to do the last deletion or the final deletion too seriously.
Yeah. It was you know, a lot of mud puddles going on and darkness, and I couldn't even tell who was getting beat up half the time, you know?
The best part about that was the reactions on Twitter from Matt Hardy and Senior Benjamin. Senior Benjamin was like, your massacre land needs work or something.
Yeah,
like
that. Yeah.
It was not prepared for massacre properly.
Yeah, that's what it was. All right, we got to
very
go.
Muddy.
Got to go to the phone. Joining us right now on the phone. Let's see. I wrote down. It's Rashawn. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. I think I've heard that thing with the New Day being termed as the Day.
New Day what?
New Day Lesion. So yeah. New Day Lesion. There you go. That's
okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, but I got well, obviously, I really want to talk about that Shinsuke Balor match.
Say what?
We're losing him. I think he said.
Hey, you know what, Rashawn? Give us a call back, man. Your phone's kind of breaking up. We're gonna go to the next call. We've got Brian. What's up, buddy?
Hi guys. How are you?
We're doing good.
Guys, with the draft coming up on Tuesday, I'm almost on Monday, but I call myself. Who do you think is going to be the SmackDown champ? Because it seemed like last Monday on Raw, if you remember, it seemed like Stephanie hinted that it was going to be Triple H running, going to be the GM for Raw. Who do you think is going to run SmackDown as the GM?
Were you listening when you were on hold?
No,
Brian, Brian, if I say yes, does that give you a hint?
Oh, yes, it does.
Okay, that's all I'm going to say. All right, 222-1280, Star Toys, the number. And I want to talk a little bit, 1 second, about before we go back to, we have another break real quick, the Final Deletion. It finally dawned on me, the name Final Deletion is kind of what WWE does when someone leaves the company, and they, like, instead of, you know, they retro the history by, you know, and so Final Deletion, you get deleted from the, so it makes sense now. They're kind of poking fun at the WWE by doing that. You know, it's like,
I know is I want an extraordinary xylophone for my birthday.
Extraordinary xylophone.
I'll order you one.
Oh, it is awesome. You know what? Max Sales for his birthday. It's like, just some of the stuff that was on that was just hilarious. So we got to go to break. We'll be back. We got one more segment. You listen to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Tough guy.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Apex Predator, Scott from Henrietta, Danger Boy, and you. And a couple real quick notes before we go back to the phones. Moose should debuted in TNA this past week. Moose from Ring of Honor and ex-football player.
Ex-Syracuse grad
is now part of TNA. And TNA is moving to Thursday night starting this week or next week coming up. Instead, so they don't have to compete with Tuesday Night Live SmackDown. They're moving to Tuesday night, which I think is some big news. You know, obviously they're shifting around, so we have wrestling now. So now we got a Monday, most times Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday.
Yep.
So Friday night's the night we get off. So let's go to the phones. We got Mike from Rochester. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Pain Clinic. I was just wondering what all of you thought of Kevin Sullivan showing up on Ring of Honor.
Kevin Sullivan. You know what? To be honest with you, I don't think I've seen that yet. But I know that he and also the old Legion of Doom's manager. What was his name?
Paul Ellering
is showing up there too. I don't know. I think they're bringing in some older names because they're losing some younger names too. So, and they're trying to get younger people over. So I think it has a lot to do with it. Kevin Sullivan really hasn't done much since WCW.
He's teamed up with Whitmer.
Oh yeah, no surprise. Evil dudes. I like BJ Whitmer being the evil guy. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I was a big Kevin Sullivan fan, but there was a little bit of, I mean, he's the first guy I remember actually doing like a Satanist character in wrestling. Back in, we're talking like the 80s, he was doing the Satanist character and he was like taking control of weak minds and stuff and they would be part of his group. So, I don't know how, you know, I mean, he was a great, great wrestling mind. Chris Benoit learned a lot from him as well as he stole Chris Benoit's wife, but, that's why Chris Benoit stole his wife.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Yeah, and then unfortunately, you know what Benoit did, but we won't say any more about that. But yeah, he hasn't really done much in the business. I got a reason to watch it now, that's for sure. Anything else, brother?
Oh, no.
Very cool. Thanks for calling, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. The 222-1280 starts away as a number. Let me see if we can get more texts. Rashawn's in Pennsylvania and he's just having some bad service. You know, it's hard to get good cell signal down there but some other news that came out this week, besides Impact changing, the Moose showing up, Lesnar getting busted for testing positive for something or another. We're not absolutely sure. George Animal Steel put out a statement saying he's home now after spending 105 days in the hospital. That's why he couldn't make it when he was supposed to be in town. So it's good that he's getting better. You see that Shaquille O'Neal and the Big Show are now going to be wrestling at WrestleMania this year. They had a little.
Heard that before.
Little thing on ESPN. During the ESPYs where they kind of bumped into each other outside and they kind of set up an angle and everything. Yeah, I know.
We'll see if it happens this year.
Bobby Roode's making his debut August 10th on NXT, so we're very cool about that. Well, Wade Barrett's got a movie role in a movie called Vengeance, so he's not done doing anything in this business. And
Hideo Tommy's back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And thank goodness, you know, not soon enough. And Cruiserweight, how do you think about the Cruiserweight real quick, the Cruiserweight Championship?
First round, I can see that they're holding a little back, but they still had some good matches. From what I gather at the tapings for the second round this past week, every match was amazing.
Oh, I can't wait then. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Eric Bischoff. And don't forget, you can meet him next Friday at Coca-Cola Field, the Buffalo Bisons versus the Gwinnett Braves, which now he knows Tony Schiavone will be there. And the next night, the 23rd, he'll be at the Buffalo Riverworks for a wrestling show. Thank you so much for the time today, Eric. We're huge fans of yours. And I know, you know, a lot of people didn't like him, but when he came to WWE, it changed a lot of people's minds about him. So, he as a performer, he did fantastic. Scott, thank you for coming in. Apex and Goon, thank you for making it. Danger Boy,
always.
And don't forget, you can catch any of our shows on fieldofpain.net, thepainclinic.net, and on iTunes. We'll see you next week, folks.